This is the Ambrosiano
Radio Show with Holly Breen. Hey, podcasters.
Yo, potties.
You're going to get the full Ed Sheeran interview where he talks about f***ing a horse.
Are they going to take out the f***s?
Yeah, they'll beep it.
Are they going to beep our f***s?
Yeah, they beep our f***s.
That shit.
Ed Sheeran, he doesn't actually have sex with horses. There's a saying.
He fucks horses.
No, he doesn't. There's a saying he has with his mates that I hadn't heard of, but you'd heard of it.
Yeah, I'd heard it. It was amazing to hear it out of his mouth, actually, because I find it a very Aussie country thing to say.
Yeah, that is true.
But you'll hear it.
It's a hectic interview. Daryl Braithwaite came in. He's 98.
Speaking of horses.
Yeah. It's so true. We did lots of stuff. You know, I don't know. It's Harley's second last podcast.
Yes. Last time, potties.
Yep. And that's apparent. The show's falling apart.
Do you know what I feel? I feel like the podcasters are the real show.
They are the heroes of
the whole situation.
More people listen to us on podcast than live,
that's right.
By the way.
Most people that stop and say good day to me are like, I listen to the podcast,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anyone actually listen in Sydney?
I don't know what's going
probably
on.
Probably not on the ratings. Also, just in Melbourne, I've added an extra show, Feb 16 at the Palais, due to spectacular demand. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you can get your tickets at mrossiano.com.au. It's now my opening night for the whole tour. So let's kick it off with a bang on that Friday night. Please come along.
And bloody good on you. And I'm genuinely appreciative of all of this behaviour on my end. Things are selling very fast as well for me. So good on you supporting Em and I and yes. In the thing that actually makes us happy.
Can I just say low-key, that's so true.
So true.
Like, is hard. And
it's just hard.
Is a joy.
You're performing in a black box.
No, I leave 2 hours on stage after dancing, sweating, and singing, feeling
pumped
energized.
Up. Yeah.
I often leave the show, which I love doing,
Listening
all that I hold dear.
Yeah.
Dear.
So come and see us live, and you'll see the magic.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the pod.
It's the radio show that probably shouldn't be left alone near an open mic.
He was about to say something heinous that would have just...
No, was it? Had come on about 3 seconds earlier.
Hosted by two people who definitely shouldn't go into the woods together.
No one ate anyone. It was 2 days. We all come
down. Yeah, but if I'm out hiking and I stub a toe and you and I are hitchhiking, I'm eating you.
We're not.
And have very different ideas when it comes to bringing a plate.
I'm taking a grain salad.
And buckwheat. And by the way, boo. Who takes a grain salad to a crisp? You are officially a shit bloke.
This is the Ambrosiano Radio Show with Holly Breen.
I don't know who that shouty woman is, but I wish she would shut up.
I am a wonderful man.
Oh, she does. Shout. Good morning. Happy Sneaky Friday.
Sneaky Friday.
That's
do you know
right.
what I did? I turned Wednesday into Sneaky Friday, which makes today Saturday.
I feel like you're just cheating.
I fell asleep with a $22 old-fashioned beside my bed.
Okay, do we want to unpack that or just let it hang?
That's where it is.
All right. Today on the show, we have Ed Sheeran coming up.
Yes.
We have Daryl
Braithwaite.
Coming on, obviously, to talk about his Hall of Fame induction. Do you think he's sick of talking about horses yet?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Such a good song.
There's so many other good ones, though. There's How's That? And what's the other good? There's heaps. It's got heaps of songs.
Summer?
Yeah. One summer, I'll find a... Remember
let's
that song?
Sing that at him rather than the horses.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, yep. People love it when you sing their own songs to them terribly.
Yeah.
We have, my God, a big Odie news.
Oh, what's happened? What's she done?
I can't reveal,
she's got
but
a secret underground cave and she started a gang.
No.
Okay. But
not that I know of.
Plausible.
It wouldn't be surprised. No, she got in the car from school yesterday, and you guys were so excited. Like, she's like, you'll have to tell Sydney tomorrow. I'm like, oh, we'll be telling Sydney tomorrow. Don't you worry. So that's very exciting. We have Alpha Bucks. So much to get through. First up, though, we've got Seinfeld's daughter and a few other people.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go. Let's do a diva chat.
Oh.
Let's start with
It's Mimi Chat Yo. It's Mimi Chat Yo. It's Mimi Chat Yo.
I like that.
Mariah.
I just can't.
I wrote that.
I know, so great. James Packer has finally come to a settlement, Mimi and James, even though they were actually never married.
Yeah.
They've got a settlement?
Yes.
For what?
You've got to admire her. Come on.
What'd she get?
James Packer has forked out millions of dollars to ex-fiancée Mariah Carey. I didn't know that you would have to pay a settlement if you didn't actually get married. They weren't living together either. Like, they weren't even de facto.
This is actually next level bullshit.
The billionaire paid the music icon, you'll love this bit, somewhere between $6 million and $13 million.
What great journalism on a really important issue.
She got to keep the engagement ring. Oh, how many radio stations this morning should be doing 13 to 60? Should you keep the engagement ring if you split up?
Listen, I think maybe you should.
I think if...
It's a gift.
If the other person called it off who gave you the ring,
yeah, good
then you
point.
Keep it.
Yes.
If you called it off, then you... All right, 13, 10, 60, should you get to keep the engagement ring if you split up?
Good distinction, think, though, Amelia. I will back that one in.
Yeah, I think that if you ended it with them and as the female in the relationship, then you should perhaps give the ring back.
Sure.
But let's take your call. Our
but maybe if you didn't get married, you should just walk away and shut up.
Well, remember she was after $65 million in inconvenience money, so... I think he got a very good deal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they only dated for 18 months, man. How's that?
Like, obviously, the guy can handle that bill because he's a billionaire, right? But she's doing all right.
Well, is she? She's playing at Parramatta.
She is whistling.
She's whistling and playing at Parramatta. Not this anything around Parramatta, but it's
no,
Mariah
Parramatta's
Carey,
fine, but she's Mariah also Carey playing guys. On Bribie Island in Queensland, which is just a suburb.
Yeah, I love it. James broke up with them after the 18-month romance, calling it a mistake. The romance. Gina, do you think that Mariah should give the engagement ring back?
Well, it depends how long. Well, they haven't been together for so long, so yes.
18 months.
Yeah, they were together, but not together.
Nah, and it was a $3 million ring or something around
what
there.
What in
so,
the
yeah,
hell?
Yeah, it's a big, very expensive.
What
ring.
Does it have? A toilet?
Pretty much. Thanks, James. Sally, what do you reckon? Should Mariah give the ring back?
Hell no.
Yeah.
Once somebody asks you to marry them, it's an executed gift. They cannot ask for it back.
Wow, an executed gift. I love that.
Has this happened to you, Sally?
Hell yeah.
Did you keep the ring?
I sure did. I went on holidays with the money.
Wonderful, Sally. Wonderful. Mazzy, you kept your ring?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
Mazzy.
Wow.
Did
you end the engagement?
Asked it back. Yes, I asked it back, but I didn't sell it. I still have it.
Oh,
I didn't.
Oh, that's sad.
Because it's my first love and stuff. Come on. You give something back, you want to add it back. Oh. You want to add, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go and hock it, Mazzy.
Okay.
Do you know, I knew an elderly woman who had 4 engagement rings from 4 different suitors. She said no to all of them and kept all 4 rings.
Love that. I love that. Gina, Sally and Mazzy, you all get tickets to see Harley Breen live.
Oh! I didn't even know that was happening.
Yep. You all get to see Harley Breen live in concert.
Don't bring your kids.
Don't bring your kids. What you're about to hear is my interview with Ed Sheeran that I did yesterday. It is strange.
Yeah.
He, to be fair, had been doing 10 hours worth of press worldwide.
Yes.
I was his last interview. And he did not want to be there, and I understand. I don't hold it against him in any way. And then we descended into a strange place. But I do love he acknowledged that song is a deliberate... what my grandfather would call, and I think I can say it at this time, panty wetter.
Oh.
Wet that is.
Would your grandfather have said that?
Probs. Yeah.
That's Lord.
Not my Italian one. That was
no.
I just think that he knew that he was writing the most romantic female orientated track of his life and then made that film clip. And then that's when having, there's a weird bit about horses, guys, just... You'll understand when you hear it. Here's my interview with Ed.
Strap in.
So sorry. Good morning, Ed.
How you doing?
Well, darling, last time you were here, I didn't have eyebrows on or underwear and was diving under a desk, so I'm ready for you now. I'm prepared.
Excellent.
How many interviews have you done this morning, Edward?
I don't know. Well, it's 7 p.m. in England and I've been going since 10 a.m., so a fair few. Oh.
Darling, I'm so sorry. Oh, my goodness, you must be exhausted. Ed, I want you to know that I rescheduled my show in Perth because we were performing on the same night.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I guess.
No, you don't have to apologise. But I put my show on and we surprisingly share a very large number of the same people that follow us and they all said we have to choose Ed over you. And I said, okay, fine, I'll move it for him. So I've moved it. So you'll be glad to know. It wouldn't have affected you at all.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, how have you been? Perfect's out, Divide's out. Last time we spoke, you were worried people had forgotten you, but I think it's okay. Everyone's loving it.
Yeah, it's been going good. It's been a pretty fun year.
It has. And the film clip I watched the other day in the snow, it's really romantic. Was that your idea?
My mate has this phrase, like, so the point of the video was to just make it as romantic as possible because my mate had this phrase. He said, if you're going to steal a horse, you might as well f*** it.
I love you so much. That's f***ing great. Well, you did that, and you got it pregnant as well, Ed.
I don't know. No, I didn't. Thank you.
Well, you did. I was watching it, and as I was watching it, I just feel like every estrogen in me exploded, watching, going, oh, my God, he's just ticked every box in this film clip. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to tick every box.
Well, you did. I'm not going to make a box joke. I'm not making a box joke, Ed Sheeran.
yeah.
You led me straight into that, Edward, and you know it.
I like it.
I'm just going to ask you one question about the royal wedding because I'm very excited. Are you mates with Hazza? Like, are you two drinking buddies?
I met him I played the Queen's Jubilee.
Yeah.
2011. So I met him then.
Mm. Okay, so you're not best friends.
No, but we can pretend.
Great. So that was Ed Sheeran, best friend of Prince Harry, joining me on the show. Ed, we're very excited to have you here. You sound exhausted, and I'm sorry you have to 9,000,000 interviews, but I'm very excited to have you.
No, to be honest, it's quite nice to end it with Australian ones.
That's good.
Are you going to use that phrase?
Not if you don't want me to.
No, you definitely should. It should be a phrase you use in everyday life. I want more people to use that.
Oh, you want me to just work it into my life. Okay. What's another scenario I could just work that into, though? I don't know how I'd casually dropped if you're going to f*** the horse into my life.
Well, if you have a hangover and you're going to McDonald's and you order, like, 20 nuggets, Big Mac, chips, and then someone says, you know, like you've got so much to eat there, and you say, "Well, if you're going to steal a horse, you might as well." F- it.
Oh my God, that's the perfect scenario. That I'm going to actually roll that out this weekend when I'm out. That's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ed Sheeran, thank you for teaching me something new. I didn't think when I rolled in this morning to interview you, I'd be learning something so magical as a new phrase.
You're welcome. Just make sure you pay it forward. You know.
I'm going to pay it forward, and when I see you and you're here next year, I'm going to work it into a sentence so you remember.
Don't do the Australian interviewer thing and, like, bring a horse to the interview and be like, hey, this would be really funny.
Oh, my God, I love you. That's what people do. That's too much effort for me. I'll just come in and have a chat with you. I don't need a horse.
Yeah, all right. We'll do that.
I love that he just burnt every Australian radio person there is. That's so good. Ed, you go on your merry way, and thank you so much for the chat, and I'll see you when you're here next year.
All right, then. I'll see you next year.
Thanks, Ed Sheeran. Bye.
In a bit, doll.
What happened? It was low-key. It was
so casual.
I love him.
But it was hectic. It was casual hectic. Well, that's what I'm giving it.
As soon as he found out we weren't live, he just unleashed flat out.
If you've got a horse, you keep that away from Ed Sheeran, is all I got to say, because that guy's got a problem.
I like the saying. I like it. I've never heard it.
Have you never heard it?
Nah, never
heard it. Oh, that's very country.
I love it.
If my family, the farmers, weren't so Christian, they'd be dropping that all the time.
Feeling crappy?
We want you to get happy.
Hi, I'm fitness trainer Tiffany Hall.
And I'm clinical psychologist Cass Dunn.
Our podcast, Crappy to Happy, gives you the tools to feel happy and awesome.
It's not about a drastic life overhaul. It's simple strategies for physical and emotional health.
If you're into living and feeling better, you'll love Crappy to Happy.
Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au.
No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Hey, Amela, did you know?
Amela. I like Amela.
You're Amela now. I just had to run through that because I'm excited about a fact to give you because I've got them all in my head. Did you know that in your sleep you can eat up to 8 spiders in your lifetime?
Nope.
In your lifetime.
Would not have thought so.
You're asleep and then a spider would just go in your mouth.
You shut up.
Or up your nose.
You shut up.
Maybe it'll climb in your butt. I don't know. I made that one up as I was going along, to be honest.
Well, that's its own fault. If it ends up there, it's dead.
Wow.
If it ends up your butt especially, that spider and its family are going down.
It could nestle in and make a home for its family. Now, listen.
Hey, Daryl Braithwaite's behind you.
Daryl Braithwaite is behind me.
Hi, Daz.
Hey, Dazza.
Hey, so low-key cool. Yeah, okay.
I'm very excited.
Me too. I love that guy. All
bloody
black,
Aussie
black
legend out there.
Bloody Aussie legend, yeah.
But anyway, the reason I brought that up is because it turns out you would have heard that before, that you eat spiders in your sleep.
Yeah,
Some people say you eat 3 spiders in your lifetime and you boy eat 15 spiders, whatever. Turns out, absolute bullcrap, not true.
What?
And I am devoed.
Why?
I'm devastated.
Why?
Because I like the idea that just in your sleep you're doing stuff.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do like
You don't like the idea that you're munching on huntsmen.
Yeah, do you know that in your lifetime...
I'd like to munch on a huntsman.
You'll eat... ooh.
Chris Hemsworth played that.
We're still talking about spiders?
No.
In your lifetime, you'll actually eat one live chicken as well.
Liar.
What?
See, now you're just making shit up. Is that your fact?
No, the scientists, right, they're not named, the study isn't quoted, but Scientific American states that this myth ignores both spider and human biology. Spiders stick to areas where there's prey to be caught, and unless you're unlucky enough to have a bed bug infestation, lawyer, your boudoir is of little interest to them. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, rest easy, you're not eating spiders, but on average, a human farts 14 times a day.
That is Daryl Braithwaite, One Summer. Yes, he has a new greatest hits album out, Days Go By. You can get it wherever you get your music. He was inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. Please welcome to the show. This is so exciting. Mr. Daryl Braithwaite.
Yes. Welcome in, mate.
Thank you very much to both of you.
Good on you.
Daz, you are looking a treat for someone who was out partying all night with the youth at the ARIAs.
Yeah, I don't think it was on last night. It was the night before.
No, you just got home, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I haven't got home.
That's how hard you go, mate.
Yeah, no.
Just getting straight in.
Stay up 2 nights.
Mate, you shouldn't be doing that at 78. I told you, did not.
88.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Daz, you were on stage, obviously, 2 nights ago with Guy Sebastian and Vera Blue singing your all-time classic Horses. You've performed the song a gajillion times, obviously.
Yeah.
And you're a bit sick of it and you're a bit sick of talking about it. But was that a special, special moment with all the crowd up and, you know, just getting the love?
Yeah, it was, especially having my band there as well because they experienced it. But I think with Guy and Vera, it was it took on a different perspective again, especially, I mean, they're both great singers. Especially, I haven't heard Guy sing for a long time, and my God.
Yeah, man.
He is so.
Got an instrument.
Like, technically,
got some pipes.
Oh, yeah. And that just comes out.
Yeah.
Mm. Just, and I go, oh, okay.
You got to step up.
Yeah.
Now, Daryl, it would be remiss of me not to bring this up in the interview. I don't know if you're aware of a comedian, Dave Callan, but he is next level obsessed with you. He must have posted now 100 times on Facebook about horses.
Oh, no, I don't.
You have no idea?
No.
Well, I've ticked the box. I've told you about him. He's absolutely obsessed with it. There's a lot of people obsessed with that song. Have you felt the weight of that over the years?
And I don't know why they're obsessed.
Because it's a cracking tune.
White woman's caisson, babe. It is the white woman's middle-aged caisson. It's the rosé of tracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you get all that info?
Well, I performed it at my live show last year, which is predominantly middle-aged women, and it was our closing song, and they just lose their tops come off.
Yeah,
Chardonnay gets spat around like
I'll be going to those gigs. Tell me where they are.
Same thing happens at your gigs, I'd imagine, Darryl.
Speaking of your gigs, Daz, obviously I love you, but you are touring with someone I love just a little bit more, John Peter Farnham.
Oh,
mate, tell me everything. Yeah. Oh, God, amazing. Yeah.
He is, as they call him in Melbourne, the Golden Bear.
Yes.
But I don't know why. But anyway, we played with him on the weekend, Sunday at Werribee Park to 13,000 people. And it was so good. And he just keeps continually sort of coming out and impressing everyone. Because, I mean, he's got the chops from hell. You know, that's singing talk for vocals.
Yeah.
But he does. He just, it amazes everyone how good he is.
And he just, you know what he does? He doesn't practice. He fishes at home and then he wheels himself out like a Mercedes on a Sunday and then just busts out your other voice like nothing's changed.
You make it sound so easy.
You guys are playing in the Gong this weekend and Star City tonight at a gig. You don't really know what it is, but you're going to be there.
But can I also plug the other gig we're doing because your listeners will be able to, at Swan Hill.
Yes, great.
Do you know where Swan Hill is?
Yes. Everyone knows where Swan Hill is.
I did an interview the other day and the girl said, so have you been here? And I went, Swan Hill, maybe in Sherbet days. Maybe.
Sherbet, I'll cross myself on that.
Listen, get in a car and drive to Swan Hill to watch Darryl.
It's only four hours.
Yeah, it's only 4 hours.
Yeah.
You'll have a bloody Aussie experience.
Looking forward to it.
The Greatest Hits album, Days Go By, is out now. Daz, if you want to come back in and sing anytime, mate, the offer is open. I'll do it with you. I'll sing.
Okay, and I'll bring John with me.
And also, big congratulations on getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, bloody 45 years. Let's give him a crap. 98 years old, Darryl Braithwaite.
Not bad.
102. I've
got to go and have a sleep.
Thanks, Darryl.
Pleasure.
How about bloody Darryl Braithwaite, mate?
Bloody Darryl Braithwaite.
Just takes me back to my childhood. That especially one summer, that song, just being in the 90s, being hot, eating a Sunny Boy, cutting the sides of my mouth, you know, all that stuff. God.
He's great.
He's so great.
It was a very similar feeling inside of me when Jimmy Barnes walked in. I just immediately went, can we just go have a beer? Let's just go have a beer.
Oh, and just, gently sing to me in my ear while I go to sleep. I mean, was anyone thinking that? Just sing.
I don't want.
You go riding on the horses in my ear. That would be such a good ad campaign. If anyone's listening, if you can come up with a product where I'm just lying down every night and relaxing to the classics being sung in my ear by the person, that would be great. Coming up next, we have Alpha Bucks.
I want everyone to pay attention.
Yeah, Sydney, this is important.
We've got 2 days.
Two shows left.
That means 4 chances. From now, you've got 4 chances at $10,000.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had someone that was so, so close. Oh. She deserved that $10,000.
Yeah.
She said a movie instead of a TV show. Mm-hmm. It was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
If you are crap, don't touch the phone.
I don't want to hear from you. Don't call us if you just call every day because you're a prize pig, and that's what you get called. If you are someone if you've got a cross through your name, you're a prize pig. You don't even listen to the competition. You just call because it's a competition.
You know what
don't
quality I want? I want 1980s Sale of the Century.
Yes.
I want that kind of contestant.
Yes, that's what we want, all right? Because we've got to give away this money. We cannot leave it hanging. So we're going to open the phone lines. Don't call unless you're serious. You be serious.
I know it's $10,000, but if you're crap, get a serious friend.
Right.
Get a good mate.
Kimmy, have we filled enough time, Dol? Do you need us to keep talking or? Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, we're done.
This is Forget the Alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Oh, hey, Stace.
Hello.
Yeah. Or should I say Mrs. H?
Good morning, good morning.
Now, am I allowed to say the school you teach at? Is that okay?
I guess. I don't know.
I was going to do it now anyway. St. Joseph's in Kingswood. And I hear that you've made Alpha Bucks part of your curriculum.
Yes, we play after recess every day. Then the top five kids of the week, every winner of every recess gets to play again. They play off each other at after lunch on Friday.
And what do you call it? Mrs. H's Alpha Lollies.
That's it.
Excellent.
Well, good morning to all the students at St. Joseph's in Kingswood. Mrs. H is on the line. You're actually in the hot seat hoping to win $10,000.
Oh, I hope so bad.
And okay, Stacey.
Stacey, I want you to win it so bad. Ben, I'm saying this time. Can you please make note of the questions if she passes and then when I get to the end, because it's too much pressure and I'm going to pass out.
No problem.
I'm too excited.
We're all on it.
So, this is what's going to happen, Stacey. I'll go through the questions the first time. If you miss anything, you'll then hear Ben's voice asking the questions again if you have the time, which is 30 seconds after I finish the first question. I have to take your first answer, and you can only use it once. Your letter is K.
K, okay.
Yeah.
K for Kit Kat.
Sure.
K for Kit Kat, yep.
Whatever you say, I can't give clues.
All right.
So here we go. Well, let's just get cracking into it. This is for you, for the kids, for lollies, just for everything. Here we go. Name a store.
Kiki K.
A water sport.
Oh, kneeboarding.
An American state.
Kansas.
A TV host.
Pass.
A bird.
Kookaburra.
A cosmetics brand.
Pass.
A fast food chain.
Krispy Kreme.
A Sydney suburb.
Kingswood.
A spice.
Pass.
You did good,
Stacey.
That was
harder than yesterday. Six. I got 10 yesterday.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
$600 for you, Stacey.
You can buy a lot of lollies with $600.
That's a lot of pressure. Oh, those kids, they'll go nuts today. I can't wait. We'll cast out early. I want to play it to them.
We will. The podcast will come out and you'll be on it. Good morning to all the beautiful students there. Mrs. H did you proud. Don't worry about it, Stacey. You were great.
Thank you.
Good on you, mate.
I played Alpha Bucks off air and you passed on the exact ones I passed on. So really, I mean, they were hard.
Hi, I'm sexologist Dr. Nikki and my podcast Sex and Life is your peek behind the curtains of sex culture. Listen now at Podcast One as I open your eyes to the different ways sex can play a part in your life and relationships. If you're curious about the world of sex, this is the podcast for you. Sex and Life with me, Dr. Nikki, is available at Podcast One. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Well, oh my goodness.
What's happened?
Sometimes in life, you know, good things happen to good people. So, yesterday...
Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And, and good things happen to bad... I'm getting bogged down.
Good things
happen to good people, and I know that this is about Odie.
Yes, and I picked up Odie yesterday with her icy pole.
Yes.
It was hot. And she got in the car and she was very excited, more excited than usual. She was bubbling. She was glowing. I go, what's going on? She goes, Mum.
What'd she do?
What? She said, guess who is Yellow House Captain? And I said, Ava.
You did not.
And she said, no, me. I'm house captain. I'm a school captain, Mum. And I'm like, what? What?
Congratulations, Odie.
Oh, my God. It's so exciting.
Also, can you please inform her that I was Yellow House?
Were you?
Yes. At primary school, it was called Watkin because I went to Walker Vale, so everything was W, whatever. Yes, I was Yellow House. Certainly not captain, wasn't allowed. But
she is going into grade 6 next year and they've elected all the leadership team.
Yeah.
And she has been made Yellow House captain and she is just beside herself. I found out... that she had to go through a whole process. They had to give a speech. So she gave a speech outlining why she'd be a good captain.
She just did this all on her own.
Yeah, and then she had to meet with the principal and the principal of the whole school and then the principal of the junior school.
Oh, I had to meet with the principal a lot as well.
Different reasons. And she had to speak in front of them about why she'd be a good leader. And she said, they said to her, we need more people like you because you're so kind-hearted.
Oh.
And so she said, and then she said to me, yeah, and I had to do an interview. And then today, they told me, I got called into the office and they said, congratulations, you're the house leader. She is, I just want to say, we had to leave your school because she was getting bullied because she's a little bit weird. And then in all the best ways, but good odd. And to have come so far that now she's been elected a leader. And you know,
so good.
It's so, she's not the greatest at maths and spelling, but who cares?
What a great leader, though. Like the Pied Piper of idiots.
Oh, my God. She's already talking about how she's going to make athletics a mandatory dress up.
Yes.
Like, she's already talking about making it a Broadway theme.
That yellow house at that school is next level hectic.
I can't wait. Today she's going to put yellow ribbons in her hair just, you know, to signify that she is yellow house captain. Yeah. Now. And it's the greatest thing. And this school is going to have a leader like never before. Like it's like New Zealand has elected someone. Do you know what I mean? Yep. She's gone straight in. So I just want to say, Odie, I'm very proud of you. And she's listening. She's going to have a little listen. Because she said to me, as we got into the car, as we came into the driveway, she said to me, Mum, you'll have to tell Sydney in the morning. I said, oh, will we tell it, Sydney?
Well, I personally welcome in the Odie regime.
New leader. Yes. Well done, doll. It would be remiss of us not to mention the fact that it was a historic day for Australia yesterday. The Australian Senate passed the bill to legalise same-sex marriage by a margin of 43 to 12.
Yes.
With everyone clapping. It's a big day.
Yep. This was a long road for those members of the LGBTQI community.
Yeah.
As we've said multiple times, it was unnecessary to drag them all through what we did.
Yes.
But we got there. The Senate did it. And on brand, I finally have a Yes Equality badge on.
I'm glad you got here, but sure.
Yeah.
It was, you know what, it was a day where it was a lot of bipartisan love. Penny Wong hugged Liberal Senator Dean Smith.
Who was the author of the bill?
Correct, yeah. And it was a little sad to see on the sidelines Corey Bernardi, Matt Canavan and Eric Abetz just like standing there stone-faced while everyone was clapping. And it was a moment to be human. I think that
every way, those men are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And especially on this subject. And they've proven to be dinosaurs on that.
Yeah.
They are a part of the very tiny 12. They couldn't just on this day go, oh, you know what? Yep.
It's fine. Now, obviously, we've still got one step to go. It's got to go to the House of Reps. It'll be debated next week, but that's expected not to hold it up at all. And before Christmas, it will be done and dusted and you can book those weddings in. Now, the religious freedoms is going to be dealt with separately. No one's religious freedoms are going to be tread upon here.
No.
And nothing's been mentioned about the Bakers. I don't know how the Bakers are sitting in all of this.
There'll be plenty of cakes.
I feel like there's a bunch of Bakers going, what did we do?
What am I up with this for?
I'm happy to make a cake, whatever you want, mate. So that was funny. The Bakers became the face of, what about the rights of people who make wedding cakes? I think they're all okay, guys.
Yeah.
I feel like, I can't imagine someone saying, no, I'm not making you a cake because you're a same-sex. I can't imagine any baker being that much of a wowser.
Oh, look.
Bakers seem like jolly folk.
Yeah, they're like pixies. They're like pixies. They're up early before anybody else is cooking away.
So, obviously, there's that bit. They've still got to deal with people wanting the right to discriminate. So that's a fun thing to be debating. But very exciting times. Marriage Equality Bill passes Senate. Well done, Australia. It's been a great couple of weeks for democracy, hasn't
it? Absolutely it has been. And on the subject of religion, while I'm sure that there are many people around the country that still oppose the idea of same-sex marriage, I personally know from my past as being a committed Christian, there are multiple people of multiple religions that are absolutely on the side of same-sex marriage.
And you know what you're going to find? Nothing in your life's going to change at all.
Nah.
Has anything changed yet?
Yep.
Nah, nothing's happened. It's going to be great.
To go to more weddings.
I've already got three weddings to go to.
Drink for free.
So excited.
As if I don't want that.
Hello.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now? With thanks to Got You, roadside rescue just when you need it. Visit gotyou.com.au.
Thank you. Today we have $1,000 to give away to the best caller, to the most bubbly caller, to the caller that gives us something extra.
Something special.
Today we want to know on 1310 60.
It's a juicy one.
What's a superior awkward first date?
Oh, yeah.
like, what's the situation you found yourself in? Maybe you met on Tinder, maybe you met on Grindr, maybe you met on Bumble. There's so many ways to meet people, isn't
there? Yeah, there is a lot of ways to meet people.
Yeah, and you're just like, you know what, I'm taking a chance. You turned up to the date.
Mm.
And oh my Christ.
And it got orcs.
It was not good.
I went on a date a long time ago with a girl who proceeded to tell me off for my behaviour and aspects of my personality.
What do you
just
mean?
Just a couple of minutes in, she's like, don't say that. No, don't talk like that. You're being very loud. Which obviously I was. and sort of about 5 minutes in, I'm like, mate, how do you think this is going? She's like, really good. I really like you. I'm like, yeah, I think you're a dick.
You did not.
Just,
in your mind, you said that.
I didn't say that. In my mind, I said, I think you're a dick. I wish I had. I wish I had, I said, because she was being a dick. Don't tell somebody off on the first date. I mean, don't tell people off at all.
Don't.
But not on a first date.
Do you know I've never been on a date?
Oh, this is a good subject then.
I've never been on one. I've never, like, taken a chance. I guess a blind date, you know, where you haven't actually met in real life.
Yes.
I've always been in long-term relationships, but why wouldn't you lock this down as soon as you could?
Yeah.
but I've never actually been on a date where I didn't know the person. You know, it wasn't someone I'd been building up to and razzing and all that stuff. You know, you've been flirting,
yes.
And then you go out. I've never done a cold stranger blind date.
Well, I would have to say, I've done a few of them, and I would have to say the awkward date that takes the cake was in Hong Kong. Did you know I travel? and I was over there doing shows, and I had been, I would say, next level bullied into being on Tinder by Ronnie Chang and Luke McGregor.
Well, I'm sorry. I won't have bullied and Luke McGregor mentioned in the same sentence.
You wouldn't think so, but both of them just wouldn't let up. They're like, you're single.
Ronnie, I believe.
You're single. Why don't you get on Tinder? I'm like,
get on Tinder, Harley.
Get on Tinder,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
It's a great app for people who are single.
Again, he sounds like Trump.
Yeah. And I went, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Then I did it. I had a pleasant experience in Singapore where we were at the time, and then we went to Hong Kong, and I was like, okay, well, I'll see if I meet another girl. That might be fun. I don't know what I'm doing. And I met up with this girl at her house, which I found...
Alarm bells.
It was alarm bells because I got a bit paternal with her. I'm like, don't invite strange men back to your house. You've never met me.
Okay.
But that's where we met up. And when we got inside, we're just sort of chatting. And then turns out she was next level racist. And I was just stuck in the house with her, just going, I don't even know where to go. Oh,
just flat-out racism in your face.
Just flat-out racism in my face.
Living in Hong Kong.
Living in, well, also half Chinese, half English, but very racist towards the Chinese. And I found it very confronting and confusing. But she had special cigarettes. So then I left.
A jazz cigarette.
A jazz one. Because I didn't really know how to confront her on it.
No,
because
I'm
like, well, you...
She's never going to see her again.
No, that's exactly what happened.
131060, God, I'm reading some of the calls coming in. Look at Alana. Look at that T-shirt set on the date.
I can't see it. No.
Pearl is 131060. What's a superior awkward first date you've been on? What happened? $1,000 up for grabs for the best story. We'll do it next. What's a superior, superior thing we're talking about now? With thanks to Got You Roadside Rescue, just when you need it, visit gotyou.com.au. The wonderful folk at Got You Roadside Rescue, just when you need it, visit gotyou.com.au. Fantastic people have given us $1,000 every day this week.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, for what's a superior. And because it can get awkward when you get stuck, no one to help you.
Gets orcs.
We're doing orcs.
I've been in that. You know what I did once when I got stuck with a car situation?
What?
The handbrake was stuck on in my parents' car and I didn't know what to do, so I just drove home with it on. Caused a lot more problems for myself.
It got you, could have helped you with that.
Yep, that's right.
So we wanted to know on 131060, what's a superior orchid first date? Can you win? Can you beat? Can you top first dates? What do you got, Chloe?
So I flew down from the Gold Coast to visit some friends, and this guy had been hassling me to take me on a date, and I said, okay. So he rocks up and he picks me up and he goes, we've just got to go to Mount Druitt Medical Center because I have to get a doctor's certificate because I threw a sickie today. So we sat at Mount Druitt Medical Center for 3.5 hours waiting to get a doctor certificate.
Three and a half hours?
Yeah, three and a half hours.
Why did it take that long?
What the hell?
Because it's one of those ones where you go in and you're like, yep, next available, please. And it was 3.5 hours later.
No.
It's hectic. Wow. Yeah, it's hectic medical center.
Sorry to say this, but that guy's a loser.
Wow. Did you... I can't believe... I would have gone after 45 minutes. Like, Chloe, you should have just bailed on him.
No, we're getting married him. It all worked out in the end.
Yes! Your fiancé's still a loser, but that is brilliant.
Hang on a minute. You're saying he recovered from that first date?
He recovered. It was a bit rocky. I was like, nah, this dude's whacked. Like, this is not happening.
Totes whacked. And now you're getting married?
Oh, Chloe, that is the best. And sucks to be the rest of the callers because...
Talk about pulling out of a nosedive.
That's amazing.
All right. Amy. Hey, Amy.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Very good.
What's the superior awkward first date?
Okay, so first date, we're going to the city for dinner. And before our entree comes, his mum and dad rock up. Join us for dinner. It was like I was in an interview with a panel of three people.
Oh.
Horrible. And then, you know the people with the roses and they come and sell them to you?
Yes. Yeah.
He bought his mum and I a rose. It was the most horrible time I've ever had.
That
terrible.
Is rank.
Did you end up marrying him?
Hell no, I never saw him again.
Yeah, and that is the right response.
Yeah, that is good. That's what I was assumed. Alana in Blacktown, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Now, your first date wore something interesting?
Yeah, so it was my first date after a relationship from Tinder. I was like, yeah, give it a go. There'll be nice guys on there. No. He rocked up wearing a shirt that said sex, dates, and protein shake.
Oh, wow, what a keeper.
He was skinny.
He was skinny.
Then he wanted to take me to some shitty restaurant and I said no. Yeah. Like we're gonna go to Crenades. Like I'm getting a free meal and it's gonna be good. So I start to order my garlic bread and he says, oh, do you know I'm a really good rapper? And I was like, okay. No man, I barely know you.
Oh.
He gets his phone out, gets the YouTube video to Dr. Dre, Still Dre, with the lyrics and starts rapping to me while the waiter's like, but do you want the garlic bread or... And I'm just sitting there mortified.
No.
And then I'm like, I just refuse to pay. I was like, I'm not paying for this dinner.
Oh, my God. He rapped on your date? That is next level.
And not well. Like, I'm a good rapper. Like, I could have done that. I can throw down Lose Yourself like anybody's business. Like, so I love that friend. Again.
Hectic. That is so hectic.
That is
sex dates action. And protein shakes and then ripping out.
Then rapping.
I've got to ask. Alana, I've got to ask. Was he white?
Oh, so white.
Yeah, of course
he
was.
No.
He's a protein shake in his life.
Oh, gosh. I just think white men, skinny white men rapping Dre is never going to end well.
No.
Unless, of course, you are Eminem, obviously.
Sure.
There's one exception to that rule. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Laura. Hey, Laura.
Morning. How are you?
What happened?
I accidentally pushed him through a shop window. It wasn't an accident. I didn't mean to.
So what was the run-up to that, dog?
Wow, we just went
so
straight in.
He went to kiss me, and he kind of caught me off guard. So I went, oh, no. And he went straight through this window and needed 15 stitches, and we had to pull glass out of his side.
Look, I've been saying for a long time, consent's important. Otherwise, you can be pushed through a window.
Was there a second date, Laura?
No, I didn't even take him to the hospital. I was like, oh,
brilliant.
Nah, good on
thank
you, mate.
You. Thanks, Laura.
Who's getting it?
Well, we're going to give a squatty potty, Em and Harley squatty potty, to Amy, Alana and Laura. But Chloe, you get the $1,000.
Worst date.
Yay!
Now you're marrying him.
Yeah. Now you're fianced to Mount Druitt Medical. Well done.
You should get married there.
Totally. Enjoy that $1,000. Thanks to Got You Roadside Rescue. Thanks for all your calls. Great effort, Gaz.
I took a flight yesterday.
Yeah.
I took a flight. Now, as you know, I like to just be a bit casual last on the plane.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So whenever we fly together, it's so much anxiety.
Yes,
it's
people...
like a badge of honour for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
to
it
have
is.
Them call your name.
Oh, no. Actually, the badge of honour is taking it to the precipice of them calling my name. I'd rather them not call my name. I'd just like to be definitely the last. Because people in life don't understand the rules of a line. Don't be so close to me. You don't need to climb inside of me. You just take a step back. Give a big man a little bit of space, please. Anyway, I ran into some friends in the lounge and...
Oh, all right. Someone's doing well for himself.
Yeah, yeah, so just at the lounge. It's yeah. pretty easy to get in there.
In the Verger lounge.
Ran into some mates. Katie Baker, actually, wonderful Australian artist. And we got a little bit too chatty and I missed the call for the flight. And then I actually worried I was that guy holding up the flight, which I don't like to do. I don't want to keep anyone waiting. I've never, ever done that. Well, never when I've been at the airport. I've done it and because I've just not made it to the airport. So I was like, oh, I'm going to buy. And I ran through and I got there and I was actually there and on the plane way before heaps of other people and I was annoyed. But I was sitting there. I was up the front. Doing well. Today, FM, we're paying.
One more day of that, brother.
That's right. back to cattle class.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'll be in the luggage area. I'll be walking.
You'll be underneath with the dogs.
Yeah. I'll be riding
in
a bike.
Cage.
I'll be flapping my wings. Anyway, I'm sitting up the front and I'm watching people come through and then we're sitting there and we're waiting and the time of departure goes past, which is sort of a regular thing these days. But we're waiting for one group of people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, come on. And then it's a family. Come on. I'm like, I understand trying to travel with children. You're wrangling these idiots. They're running off everywhere. I get it. The mum is flustered and she's the first one through the door and I see her and she's so apologetic. She's like, I'm sorry. And she's starting to give the explanations of why. You know, it was the traffic and then the car park and then the this and then the that. And the flight attendant was very lovely. She's like, no, it's fine. We weren't even ready to go yet. I'm like, well, my watch says you should have been. Anyway.
Okay. All right, mate.
Yeah, I'm the timekeeper and a captain. I was about to just walk into the cockpit and said, I'll fly this thing. Okay. So the family walk in, then a couple of kids, and then the dad walks in and he's holding something in his hand that I found a bit peculiar for people that were giving excuses for being late. What do you think that man was holding in his hand?
Do you want me to really guess?
Yes.
A beer.
That'd be awesome. And I would have applauded it, and I would have high-fived him, and I would have gone, I'll wait for that every day of the week. Yeah. But that was not what he was holding in his hand. He was holding two very full bags of McDonald's. I think we all know why you're late.
Priorities.
Yeah, priorities.
It was either that or Krispy Kreme's, mate. Either that or Krispy Kreme's.
That's right.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Hi, Christy.
Hello. Oh, thank you for picking me.
Wow, you're so welcome. We didn't, but
yeah, we just got told.
Okay.
Yeah. Your name just kind of appears and we say it, but someone thought you were good enough to get through.
Okay, thank you.
She needs a new car because she's got the NRMA on speed dial.
Yes, I do at the moment, unfortunately.
What car are you rocking at the moment?
I've just got an 04 Mitsubishi Lancer, so I need a bit of help.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
We've added in just one new element now, and it's so that I don't pass out because I get too excited and I want you to get the money. I'll go through it as quick as possible with you. If we go back to do the past questions, you will hear Benny's voice, giggling Ben there. And he'll pick up the...
All right, I could just do it. Your co-host that has a microphone turned on. But that's all right, sure. Fine.
All right, whatever. So you get 30 seconds. Your time starts after the first question and we have to take your first answer. You can only use it once.
Okay.
All right, your letter is H.
Okay.
Or
yep.
H. Here we go. I'm going to get started right now. Here we go. Name a male music artist.
Pass.
Something you wear.
High-waisted jeans.
A shoe brand.
Pass.
A sauce.
Hot.
A part of the body.
Hair.
An insect.
Pass.
A profession.
Pass.
A Sydney River.
Pass.
A nut.
Hazelnut.
An Australian celebrity.
Harry Connick Jr.
Male music artist.
No. Harry Connick Jr., sorry.
That's all right, mate.
Oh, you're not Australian.
You got $400, though.
That's
great. That'll help for something. It'll fix the car a little bit.
That's okay. You're fine, dog. Well done. Have a great
Christmas.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Good luck with everything. I love living on the edge. It's Em and Harley.
What's happened to you?
On Today FM. Oh, I've been rehearsing my stand-up show, so I'm back in stand-up mode. And, you know, I use the F-bomb as a noun.
Sure.
So I'm just, it's a blessing we're off air tomorrow. I'll tell you right now after tomorrow.
You do have a potty mouth. I, on the other hand, am very clean.
Oh.
Never swear.
How dare you?
I use the Queen's English.
Maybe her husband's.
Yeah, I do. I use Phil's English.
Now, 1310cc, this is going to go off. I would genuinely want to know what people think.
Yeah.
There was a mother.
Polarizing.
I think so. Do you think it is mean or genius to not let your kids decorate the Christmas tree?
I would use a different word. I'd say necessary.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. Now, this comes from our favorite website, Mumsnet.
Oh, what a great place. What a bastion of civil discussion.
All right, it is often that. I say to myself often, let's solve the problems. Let's send Trump there to pop it up on Mumsnet and see what happens.
Because you know what I've found in my experience is that if you're a mum, you're all the same. You all think the same.
So and kind to
you
each other.
All get along.
Mums
so
never judge other mums, do they?
No judgment at
mums
all.
Don't judge other mums. So Mum Obi put on Mumsnet, she said, look, this is, I've got a struggle. We put up the tree and the decorations at the start of December. Mm-hmm. We've always done this as a family, but as our kid count has grown, things are a little bit crazy with the kids.
Yeah.
I dropped into conversation with a girlfriend that I think I'm going to do the tree while the kids are sleeping. Now, she says, my sister does it while her kids are at school and it's a lot easier and they're really happy when they get home.
Yeah.
But then some people on Mumsnet suggested that it was mean and not in the spirit of Christmas. And
well, is the spirit of Christmas a shitty-looking tree?
Oh, my God.
Because if it is, let the kids do it.
I agree. And normally I'm all about, of course, let the kids do what they want. It's a fun time of year. But no. When my kids were little and they used to decorate our tree, it looked like a serial killer got loose with a craft box. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I, as someone with a Cert 5 in visual merchandising and half a degree in interior design, I take that stuff very seriously. And I want my
what
tree
to credentials?
Be, I want to be symmetrical tree. I don't want the lights tangled. I want the star on top straight. I don't want it drooping like it needs some Viagra. Like, I want everything beautiful. And I love the idea of doing this while they're asleep.
Yeah, and look, I applaud Leonard's craft enthusiasm. But his room, and specifically the craft area, looks just like a pile of crap. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that's great. I'm not trying to control him. Do what you want. But the Christmas tree, you're not allowed to go near it.
Nah, I agree. And what I used to do when I had more energy and zest for life, I would let my kids do it, and then while they were asleep, I'd fix it.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do when I could be bothered. But now... Nah. Now it's not too bad because they're 16 and 10 and actually don't care. But
well, Leonard still we still have a craft day and he can design his own ornaments. So we've got like glass ornaments, you can put different things inside.
You put them in the back so no one can see.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you put it on when he's there and other people are there, and then if he's not around, you take it off. And then we have little messages. You can write little wishes and hopes and dreams for the future. And so he writes that on and we also put that up the back because he can't spell and doesn't know what he's talking about.
1310cc. I want to hear what people think. I want a jury on this. Do you reckon this is the best or the meanest thing?
Yeah.
Do you let your kids help you with the tree, or are you like this woman who just wants to do it on her own?
And maybe your kid is better than you, is actually better designer. That's a possibility.
Doubt it. Kids are rubbish at decorating. Sorry, guys, if you're listening on your way to school, Mum doesn't want you to do it. And if she does, she says she does, she's lying. So hard, guys. You're just idiots sometimes. I love you. But the lights are not to be wrapped around your head and run around the house screaming, I'm baby Jesus, Odette.
No, I endorse that.
No, I'm electric. I'm electric baby Jesus, is what she said.
She's excellent.
We'll take your calls next. Now, let's keep the debate respectful.
Be respectful to everybody's decisions.
But it's okay. Let's have it. Let's get fired up. I'd say it's 50-50 on this point.
Yeah.
Obviously, Christmas is coming up. Tomorrow's the 1st of December.
Do you know who else sometimes maybe you should step away from the Christmas decorations? Is my dad. Just gets a bit
PB.
Too... Yeah, he just gets a little bit too abstract. So one time he got a branch that had fallen off a gum tree and wrapped it all in paper, and it looked like this. It looked beautiful. It was a nice piece of art. I'm like, it's not a Christmas tree, is it?
Yeah, I did that last year. I had glitter sticks, remember?
Yours still would have had a Christmas vibe. His was like you'd walked into some sort of
Scandinavian art exhibition.
Yes.
Yeah. A woman has posted on Mum's Net, that was her first mistake, about how she wanted to wait till her children were asleep to decorate the Christmas tree because it's just too hectic when they're involved. It's too hard.
They ruin it.
And a lot of people were like, yeah, we get it, sister. And then a lot of people were like, dude, Christmas is about the kids.
Yeah, and you reckon Melania Trump was getting...
Conscious?
Byron.
Sorry, what? Who? What's his name?
Byron. Is it Sorry? Byron? I don't know. Baron? Well, you say it. Obviously, you know.
Whoops. Baron.
There you go.
But I like Byron.
Sure.
Can I give you a fact about Baron's name?
Yeah, sure.
You know, I've been listening to this Donald Trump podcast.
Yes.
Baron is the alias that Donald Trump used to use when he was calling people to demand that money back or to say, tell them, I'm not paying you. So Donald Trump would hire people, negotiate a price, then not pay them and then negotiate them down on what he's not paying them. And he would say his name was Baron.
What?
I know.
And that's what he named his child?
Yes, after his fictional character he used to do on the phone.
He's got issues.
Okay, here we go. We're waiting in 131060. What do you reckon about kids decorating the Christmas tree, yay or nay? Kylie?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Kylie.
Go, Kylie, you give it to us. I love it. It's great. It's good you're disagreeing. I love it.
I do a little bit. I understand 100% what you're saying or what they're saying. But growing up, we always basically did it as a family. Now with my kids, we do the same thing. My kids are 10 and 12 and still very excited. Like, you know, they're waiting for sort of that 1st of December to put up the Christmas tree. Like I said, do it as a family. So, but I mean, on the other side, I do understand, like, you know, yes, I do fix the tree still and make it look better.
Do you? So, Kylie, we're just going to clarify, you fix the tree after.
I do. They're better now. Being 10 and 12, they're all right now. So they actually, you know, with a bit of... You know, arguing, like, no, you have to put it there, you have to put it here. I mean, I do the lights, you know, I start with the lights first.
I love it.
But then the decorations, they kind of go wherever.
Oh, that would have been such a good What's a Superior, Harley?
What?
What's a Superior order to do a Christmas tree in?
Oh.
Yes. Can't do it anymore.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. Do you do lights first? I always do lights first.
Well, I feel like you got to do lights first because then you can hide the cords the light with the other decorations.
Yes.
And then the lights shine through the decorations.
Yep. I like that. Rita. Hi, Rita.
Hi, how are you?
I love it. You are free to disagree with us because too often Harley and I agree, and I love. Yeah. I want to find out your point of view. I love it. You'll probably sway me on that week. Tell me.
I love the kids picking up the tree. It's just the best part. I love all the decorations down the bottom, and there was nothing up the top. Yeah. And if they had friends over, they'd help, and it was just fun.
Yeah.
And they're all grown up, and.
Oh, they still want to do the tree.
I wasn't going to do the tree, but they want to do the tree, and it's just fun.
Aww.
Yeah. And so
you've made a good point and made us look like real arseholes.
Now I feel.
Definitely let the kids put up the tree.
All right.
Such a jerk.
And the branches down the bottom will be hanging to the floor, and I love it.
It's just rubbish, but it's got love in it.
Yep.
I get it. Okay.
And all the decorations they make at school, and
Yeah, the dried noodles, all of that. Okay, thanks.
How's this as a solution?
Okay.
We have two trees.
Two trees.
We have the kid tree, which will look like some
rubbish.
Kind of hectic upchuck.
Yep.
And then we have the other tree,
which
baby Santa Claus can be proud of.
Yeah, photo. Joey, g'day, Joey.
Hey, how are we today?
Good.
Yes.
Joey's an answers man. Joey's ringing with a solution from us. Go, yes,
so,
Joey.
What I think what the mother's doing is wrong, but yes, I do have a solution.
Yeah, go.
But first of all, I'm not a parent, but this is what I plan to do.
Okay, yes. Great. I don't care. I love that you're not a parent and you've got an opinion
and
you're a young man.
I like pre-planning.
Great.
Good job.
Yeah. Go.
So, you guys watch Friends before?
Yeah, I've seen it. I'm aware of Friends.
Sometimes when I want to feel like what trauma is.
Yeah.
So you let your kids decorate half of the tree and you decorate
a better half of the tree, and their half faces backwards.
Put it on a lazy Susan. So
you put, they participated in the tree, but, you know, you want it to look good because you're OCD.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Joey. I am. Yeah. All those things are correct. All right? That's a good idea. Good. I love that Friends has helped him solve a parenting dilemma and he's not a parent. Brilliant.
And neither would I.
Amy, hello.
Hello.
What do you got for me?
I've got, well, my daughter just jumped out of the car demanding that I don't do the tree on my own after hearing you say that we shouldn't be doing it. So she was impressed. She was giving me the, are they for real, look, mum? So it's always an interesting drive to school. We love it.
Amazing. Amazing. Good.
My solution is I've got our own big tree, and I'm actually doing it today because I've had enough of them ruining my tree. I'm going to buy them a little tree, like a little 3-4 foot, and that can be theirs. They can do what they want. Yes. They can mess that up.
Yep.
Mine will be pretty, and theirs will be tucked in another room.
Yep. I love it, Amy. How old's your daughter?
I've got a 9-year-old daughter, 4-year-old boy, and a 1-year-old boy.
Oh,
so it's going to just get more and more crazy.
Yeah, it's going to get hectic. I reckon there would have been a few kids looking at their parents this morning, listening to us driving to school, going, don't you even think about it.
Don't
you even listen to those idiots on the radio. Yeah. Thanks for your calls, everyone. Brilliant.
Oh, here she comes. Watch out, Royal, she's stalking you. Oh, here she comes. She's a royal watcher.
I am a royal watcher. And
it turns out you actually are.
Yeah, and what I've been very disappointed with is the media's treatment of soon-to-be Princess Meghan Markle. Now, obviously...
Or Meghan, as it turns out they're pronouncing it, which I have a slight issue with. It's Meghan.
Well, however you say it, a friend has flat-out dogged her out, and it's not okay.
You were about to tell me, and I said, don't just tell me on air. What's happened?
So, childhood friend Ninaki Pretty... has come out.
A weird name.
And look, Ninaki just needs to calm the hell down, first of all.
Yeah.
Actually, I really like saying her name. Ninaki.
And her last name, Pretty. That's awesome.
Ninaki. It sounds like a cocktail. I'll have a Ninaki doll.
If she married Eddie Perfect, she could be Pretty Perfect.
Ninaki, so Pretty good. Perfect. Yes. So, anyway, Ninaki has come out and gone, oh, guys, you know how Meghan was all like, oh, I didn't know who Prince Harry was. I didn't even know about the royal family. Ninaki's gone, not true. She's actually dreamed of being the next Princess Diana her whole life. When we were 15, we went to visit Buckingham Palace, and here's a photo of Meghan Markle and I out front of Buckingham Palace. Boom, gave the photo to the press.
Oh.
And went on to say, Ninaki needs to sit the hell down, by the way. Kept going. She gets exactly what she wants, and Harry has fallen for her play. She was always fascinated by the royal family. She wants to be Princess Diana 2.0. She will play her role ably, but my advice to him is to tread cautiously.
She's a shit bloke.
Oh, now, come on, mate. Like, so...
Hey, partly, I just want to say this, partly this could be the scenario. I have actually said this to my brothers. I said to them, if I get neck level famous at any point in my career, which is probably not going to happen, I said, if it does, feel free to make a bit of coin by selling stories.
No.
To, go on.
I say the opposite makes to my friends.
Make some money.
Lock it
make
down.
Make it up too. I don't care.
No, but see, that's the whole...
Do an expose.
I'm so terrified of this happening to me that I just say everything I've ever done on stage.
Right.
That's where my material comes straight from fear.
Well, that's the problem with me. I'm more honest than any of my family want me to be.
I've got to get it out there before someone else does.
Yes.
But this is the thing. I just want to say that Meghan never actually said she'd never heard of him.
No.
And to be fair, this was in 1996.
Yeah.
Harry would have been like, what?
Oh, three?
No.
How old is he now?
I don't know. He's not even 30. And I just feel like... Come on. She didn't say she never knew who he was. She
She's 33.
Is she? Is he that old?
She's 36. He's
33. Is Harry that old?
Ooh, older lady.
She did know. Okay. But who cares? Like, she never said I'd never heard of the royal family. But this friend's trying to insinuate that Meghan's had a pinboard up with red string and Harry's picture on it and she's been living her entire moment to get to this crescendo of becoming Princess Di 2.0.
And also, I think it's a fairly common wish of little girls around the world to want to be princess. There's multiple movies based on that storyline of the idea of being a princess and all that.
Yeah.
And she still had to fall in love and he had to fall in love with her.
Yeah. And I just feel like if I'm going to London, if I'm going to Paris and have a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower, You know, if I'm going to Rome, I'm going to have a picture of the Sistine Chapel.
Yeah.
If I'm going to London, I have a photo in front of the Buckingham Palace. That's what you do.
I'm not, because I'm a bad traveller. I'm just sitting in a bar.
I just feel like we're allowed one day of love and kindness, and then the next day they're digging through her bin.
And also,
you know what I mean?
On Megan's defence, I take a little bit of issue with the constant referral to it as the role that she's playing. Now, I understand she's going to be a public figure, and there's a public nature to what she's doing, but she's getting married to the person that she loves.
Yeah,
she's calling it a role. She hasn't been cast in a movie.
I don't want to hear. Apparently, people are trawling through porn sites now, claiming there's videos of it. Like,
inevitable.
I don't want to. I just want them to be happy. And if they're happy, I don't care what she's done in her past. If he loves her and she loves him, more power to them. That's all. All right, I'll defend
also,
everything.
Also, they have a disproportionate amount of wealth.
Also, shut up. Nanaki pretty. Enough from you, Nanaki. Sorry, just buying myself a Christmas present and I'm totally not paying attention.
What are you getting? Is there a code violation if you say what you're getting on air?
I know. I'm getting the new Ace Crystal sneaker from my favourite shoe brand.
What's that mean?
It's $600.
That is the best. Just straight in.
Karen, and you're wrong. It's actually much, much more because there's three levels of crystals under the shoe.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I can buy myself.
What's that mean?
I can
crystal
buy myself.
Shoes.
Everyone buys themselves Christmas presents, all women especially, and I think men do too.
Mate, I'm not judging.
Come December, anything I buy that is over the top, I'm like, Christmas present to myself.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pair of sneakers from my favourite brand that you know.
Yeah, but I don't understand that the crystal
part. It's a platform sneaker, and then there's three rows of crystals.
You're like Disco
embedded, Studio. Yes, embedded in the sneaker. And they're amazing.
Sick.
Thank you.
Who cares? Now, keen for your opinion on this. You may have, and listeners, may have heard our newsreader, Amy Goggins, talk about this. I find it an interesting development in technology and education.
Okay.
It's happening right here in New South Wales. World first computer program enables teachers to police students' online activity in class.
Ooh. Oh, God.
So essentially what's happening...
Odie's secret Pinterest account is under threat.
New South Wales schools are trialling a world-class program which uses elaborate colour coding to throw up a red flag on the teacher's laptop when a student goes off task on their classroom computer. Six schools have now bought or are testing the Edquire learning and analytics software, and many more are expected to follow suit. Now, on one hand, I'm like, Big Brother is watching, don't do that, you creeps. On the other hand, I'm specifically sending my child to school so that he's being watched and cared for.
No, see, my issue is that the teacher's time is now going to be taken up with reprimanding the students who are on Pornhub.
No, but I think that is the
I want her teaching or him teaching.
No, I think the contrary to that. They don't have to.
But if the red flag comes up, does the teacher not walk over and tap the kid on the shoulder and go, dude, back on task?
Well, but it's an easier thing. It's a quicker process. It's like, rather than trying to figure out if they are on task.
But no one does. That's the problem.
No one's on task.
No, the thing is teachers assume the kids are on task. But I talk to my daughter, Marcella, all the time because everything's done on Surface Pros at her school, everything. They don't actually have written workbooks anymore.
Yes.
And she says she looks around the classroom and people are just flat out watching Netflix in class or on websites they shouldn't be on. And the teacher at the front has no idea. So the class just goes on as normal. But I think do you know how many flags are going to be popping up?
It's almost like buying shoes when you're meant to be working.
How dare you? How dare you, anyway?
As if
how dare you?
I am never on my phone.
This is content. Excuse me.
You're on your phone right now.
That provided 2 minutes of content. Did it not?
Yeah. Researchers have found that when students' attention strays from lessons, boys spend 55% of their time during lessons on gaming, 25% streaming videos, 15% on sports sites, and 5% streaming music in class. Girls are distracted 59% of their time by streaming videos. Gaming is only 19%. Celebrity news, 7%. Social media, 7%. And music streaming is 8%. So there's a lot going on for kids. And I genuinely am concerned about that. for Leonard, who I can't keep on a task at any rate, and they're using all this technology. This wasn't an issue when we were kids at all. The most distraction I would get was doodling on the paper, which I continue to do to this day, but I wasn't on other sites doing things.
Oh, it's hectic. It's really, and increasingly education is all becoming digital. So, and yes. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is something you guys all must remember, and when I say it, you'll remember.
Yep.
The former head of Yahoo, the former head of eBay, people very high up at Google, all their kids go to one specific school in Silicon Valley that has no technology.
Yeah.
It is a technology-free learning environment. Mm. Yep. And that, to me, speaks volumes.
Well, that's in support of this, but I'm wary about it. I think
they need one person sitting in class, and their sole job is to be the computer police.
You know what I think they need? Every single kid has to sit on one of those Dunkum chairs.
Yes. Oh, yes.
If you go on the wrong site, you're getting dumped in water.
I like that. That's good too.
That's fun.
It's great. It's good. We've solved it. Well, that's all we have time for on this Thursday edition of Em and Harley. Second last ever show that we do together.
The last sneaky Friday, though.
Yeah, it is. And tomorrow's our last show.
Yes.
I'm coming back next year with Ed Cavalli.
Correct.
And you'll be off doing your stand-up tours. So don't miss tomorrow's show. Yes, don't miss it. It'll be something.
Oh, mate, it's going to be loose. Yeah. Both you and I know. Maybe we'll be slick. Maybe we'll be tight.
I was going to say, let's be tight. All right, thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Want more Em Rossiano and Harley Breen? Listen weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1 Today FM. The Em Rossiano.